Amen. Amen. I'm going to jump right in. I don't got no cute stories to start. I'm going to jump right in because we mean business tonight, okay? I came with a word and we're going to jump right in. The text in John chapter 2 makes absolutely no sense. If you think that you just read something that made logical sense, I'm sorry, you may be reading the text too fast. You may need to slow down just a little bit. Because sometimes when you're so familiar with something, you miss what's really happening. Sometimes in order to really see a picture, you've got to back up from it, slow that thing down, and put it in slow motion. Because here's the deal. Jesus' mother says, hey, we got a problem. There is no more wine. She didn't tell him when they was running low. Wine was gone. This is a problem. This is a huge problem and would have been a major embarrassment for the couple that had been married. And Jesus says, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Jesus don't even say nothing close to a yes. Nope, I don't even know why you're talking to me. And Jesus gave a reason. He said, my hour has not yet come. Not only is this none of my business, not my problem, but it ain't even my time yet. And then does what he said he wasn't gonna do. Now, maybe I'm the only one that's confused by what Jesus is doing. But my man just said one thing and did another. Do we see this? Which means there's only a couple logical conclusions. Okay, let's work through the logical conclusions. Jesus was wrong. Logical conclusion number one, he thought it wasn't his time, but he was wrong. Then, upon further talks with God, realized, oops, I misspoke. Actually, it is my time, and I will now continue with said miracle. Option number one. However, the Bible says that in the beginning, he was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, which means he could not have been wrong, because this is the same Jesus that sits down at a well and tells a woman who he had never met how many husbands she had. This is the same Jesus who knows the one who's going to betray him. This is the same Jesus who is a prophet, a priest, and a king. So I don't understand how Jesus could have been wrong about his timing and then reneged on what he said and actually did what Mary wanted him to do. That don't make no sense. The next logical conclusion, here we go, is that Jesus was right, that his time had not yet come, but he was like, I don't care what God say. I don't care if it's my time or not my time. My mama asked me to do something, so I'm gonna do it. But that don't make no sense neither. Because the Bible also says that Jesus says to the Pharisees, I only do what my Father tells me to do, and I only say what my Father tells me to say. In Gethsemane, Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And so we cannot deduce that Jesus just disobeyed God. We have to have some kind of logical answer as to why Jesus tells Mary, it is not yet my time, but then does the thing that he said he wasn't going to do. Either Jesus doesn't know what time it is, or Jesus is not submitted to God. And none of those logical conclusions are true, which means we have to move to logical conclusion number three. Logical conclusion number three is that something happens in between when he said, it ain't my time, and when he said, go get that water and go fill up them jars. There's something happened. Maybe, I don't know, there's somebody on the front row, his name is Pastor Al, he would say it like this, maybe, just maybe, heaven is taking orders from earth. Maybe, just maybe, that there are people in the earth that have the ability to pull something out of eternity and into time. Maybe, just maybe, there's a woman in the text named Mary that has Canaanite faith that says, I know you said no, but I know that you're gonna do it because I'm gonna stand here and I'm not gonna let you go
until you bless me. Maybe, just maybe, there's somebody with breadcrumb faith, with the ability to not just know what God said, but to understand what God meant by what he said. Because this is a God who will oftentimes say no to test how bad you really want it. See, you think that you were asking God questions, but actually God is asking you some questions. What he's asking you is, are you going to walk through the pain to get what I want to do in your life? How bad do you want it? Because if you walk away after the first no, then that means you didn't really want it that bad. But if you can hear me say no and pull a yes out of me, then that means you've got some breadcrumb faith, some Syrophoenician faith, some Canaanite faith, faith that won't take no for an answer. I wonder if there's anybody in the room who's saying, I will not take no for an answer. God, I will not. I know that what you said over my life is yes and amen. I declare with heaven that I will be blessed, that I will be healed, that whatever heaven says about me, I will declare it over my life. And the moment I begin to live beneath the standard of heaven, that there's a righteous indignation that I now have, and that I'm not begging God for anything, but I'm approaching him with a right to demand the thing that he has spoken over my life. Oh, is there anybody in the room? Yeah, maybe you're saying, oh, I've had some lazy spirituality, but today is the day that I learn how to hear God in a different way. I'm not just gonna hear a yes or a no, but I've gotta hear the nuance in the middle. I've gotta hear a God that begins to stir my faith, that when he says no, it actually activates something in me to press in and to ask again and to rephrase my question. This is a God that says, if you really want it, it doesn't matter how many times I say no, you'll say yes. It doesn't matter how many times I say no, you'll say, okay, but can you do it tomorrow? It doesn't matter how many times I say no, you'll look at me and go, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. It doesn't matter how many times you get a negative doctor's report, you will begin to say, I know I'm healed. It doesn't matter how many times they try to foreclose on that house, you'll lay hands on it and say, if God don't come through today, I know he's gonna come through tomorrow. There's got to be somebody with some persistent faith in the room. Because God's yes, I got to teach you. God's yes is not always going to look like a yes. Oh, Jesus. See, God's yes is sometimes camouflaged as a no. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in a not yet. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in an insult. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in a, ain't you a dog? Sometimes God's yes is hidden in a, what that got to do with me? Sometimes God's yes is hidden in a, my hour has not yet come. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in him hurting your feelings. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in rejection. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in what you didn't want to hear. Sometimes God's yes is hidden in disappointment. Sometimes God's yes is shrouded in confusion. Sometimes God's yes ain't always just as plain to see as other times. Sometimes God says no, sometimes God says yes, and then sometimes God says something to throw you off his scent. So when we talk about breadcrumb faith is the ability to follow the breadcrumbs until you get to your blessing. Breadcrumb faith is the kind of faith that will follow the clues. Breadcrumb faith is the kind of faith that reads in between the lines. Breadcrumb faith is the kind of faith where it don't need to be black and white for me to understand it. Breadcrumb faith is the kind of faith where God can be a little gray and a little confusing, but I'll pull a yes out of really anything that he says. Breadcrumb faith is the kind of faith where you say, God, I don't need you to break this down for me. I'll just take whatever you said and run with it. Breadcrumb faith. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna step on some toes. Uh-oh. Because sometimes we lazy. We want God to come with a billboard. This way,
Go ye in it. Sometimes you're looking for signs. You're looking. And God's like, while you're looking for a prophetic word, you should have been looking for a prayer life. Because what you've been expecting to receive from a prophet, you could have received in prayer if you could discern what God was actually saying. And God begins to say, you need discernment if you are going to wait for me well. You got to have discernment. Okay, here we go. I'm going to say it a different way. Okay, here we go. A lot of you waiting for a sermon. But if you had his spirit, you waiting for a preacher to get up and tell you what you need to do. You waiting for a prophet. You waiting for a sermon. But baby, I don't need no sermon. You know why? I got the spirit of the Lord on the inside of me. The same way God speaks to me, God can speak to you. You don't need a prophet. You need a prayer life. You don't need another sermon. You need the spirit of the Lord God to wake you up in the middle of the night and whisper into your ear. The issue is that you don't spend enough time with God for him to even be able to tell you anything complicated, and you pull a yes out of it because you're looking for billboards, you're looking for prophetic words, you're looking for sermons. Okay, here we go. Uh-oh, this is for all the millennials. I'm so sorry. Woo, you can go get a pedicure tomorrow because I'm about to crunch your toes. Okay, here we go. You're looking for YouTube. You're looking on YouTube for a word. And you need to be on YouVersion, okay? You're on YouTube. You're on YouTube trying to watch the latest sermon from your favorite preacher. But if you would get in God's word, if you would get in his word, then you would be able to understand that no doesn't always sound like no. And yes don't always sound like yes. See, the secret of the Canaanite woman and the secret of Mary is that while everybody else heard a no, they heard something different. See, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if your ears don't work because you don't know his voice, then faith is never going to be built in your life. If you cannot discern when he means no, when he means not yet, and when he says, when he really means you need to pray harder about it, when he really means you, how bad do you really want it? See, sometimes you're waiting for God to speak, but God didn't already spoke. And you missed all the clues. You missed all the breadcrumbs. And see, God rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. If you just think that he's a cheap date and he gonna tell you all his secrets on the first night y'all go out, then you are gonna be in for a rude awakening, because this is the God that says, how about you wake up early in the morning and seek my face? If you wanna hear me in a way that don't nobody else hear me, then you've gotta develop an intimate relationship with me where something in your spirit just don't feel right. And you know not to do the deal, not because the signs were pointing to it, but because his spirit was speaking to you. There's something that cannot be confused with an intimate relationship with God. Mary knew. Oh, you're trying to throw me off the scent. Okay. I'm going to say this plain. Let's try to say it as plain as I can. Here we go. 1950s, there was a newspaper article that was advertising a job. And the job, they were looking for someone who could read and understand Morse code. I don't know if you've ever heard Morse code. When I first read the story, I had to Google Morse code, no shame in my game. And it just sounds like do 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 do. I mean, it don't sound like nothing. And they put a newspaper article and said, we are hiring people to work, but you've got to be able to understand Morse code. And so the gentleman went down to the office. He got in line. He was waiting there. And he was waiting, and he was waiting. And then he heard something on the loudspeaker. But he wasn't next in line. Everybody was sitting there, but over the loudspeaker was going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And so he got up out the chair and walked over to the front desk and said, where is the office? They said, the office is that way. He walked over to the office, walked into the office, sat down with the hiring manager. The hiring manager said, did you hear that outside? He said, yes, I did. That's why I came in here. Everybody outside got mad. They got aggravated. They got annoyed because he got the job. The hiring manager walked out and said, well, everybody can go home. We have hired our applicant. And everybody stood around like, what in the world? How? What are you talking? I didn't even get a chance to interview. And the hiring manager said, well, we were using Morse code on the loudspeaker. And on the loudspeaker, we typed out in Morse code, if you can understand this, come to the office and the job is yours. See, while everybody else was thinking that they were rejected, one person had the discernment to know, I can decipher the message. Can you decipher what God is really saying? Because God is not just going to talk to you in plain English. And if you need sermons for the rest of your life, then you will always need milk. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Paul says to the church, at some point, you got to stop drinking milk and you need food. What is milk? Milk is when somebody else eats the word, digests it, and feeds you. If you need milk, that means you need a sermon. But if you can get solid food, if you can digest a word for yourself, then that is the time where you say, the preacher is only confirming what God already said to me earlier this afternoon. I don't need a sermon. I need his spirit. Oh, I don't need a prophecy. I don't need a prophecy. I need a prayer life. And I don't need YouTube. I need YouVersion. I need to sit down with my word and study and know what are the principles, what are the promises that God actually has for me so that I can pray according to his word, not my wants. Oh, Jesus. Your life goes to another level when you know you have the right to have what you're asking for. Your life goes to another level when you say to the Lord, there are certain promises in your word for tithers. And you begin to show God your tithing record. So now I'm not begging. Okay, I'll say it plain. Okay. Woo, help me, Holy Ghost. A couple years ago, I bought a grill from Home Depot. I put it together myself. I'm pretty proud. Grill stopped working. But I knew I had a warranty on the grill. First time when I went to Home Depot, they asked me about the warranty. I was like, yeah, I got the warranty. Can you just look it up? Yeah, computer. Type. Look it up. It was like, well, we don't look it up in the system. I said, oh, for real? So I'm just in here on grace, just hoping you're going to be nice to me today? Let me go find my receipt for my warranty. And when I find my receipt, I'm coming to see you, Susan. That's why they make you wear name tags, Home Depot. I went to the crib. I dug through every drawer I could find. Found that receipt. When I went back to Home Depot, I had a whole different kind of swag with me. Had a whole different kind of confidence. See, you go into God based on what a preacher said. But when you got your receipt, when you go, I didn't hear this at church. God told this to me in my quiet time. I know exactly what the words say. The words say that I have a right to be married. The words say I got a right to have children. The words say that I will be the head only and not the tail. The words say that I will be above only and never beneath. And you can actually quote it and you know where it comes from. It ain't just a cliche, but you know the word. Then you walk into God's office with a whole nother kind of confidence. Like, God, I know what you said and I know you said the hour has not yet come, but when I flip right here, it say in Ezekiel that you will do this thing for me. You got to know the word. Or else every time you go to God, you're just hoping and wishing. Like, I hope he answered my prayer. I hope. Here we go. Okay. Sit down. I got to sit down. I'm getting excited. Here we go. Oh, Jesus Christ. I got a lot of sermon, not a lot of time. Praise God. Is this helping anybody? Yes. Here we go. My first point. I preached it already, but I'll give it to you. I think there's a point up here somewhere. You know, I'm bad with points. I'm real bad with those. Pastor Andy, he's the point king. He'd be having 7 a lot of times. Sometimes he'd have 10. I'd be like, how? It's hard for me to have 1. Okay, I got a point. The first point is that you must have discernment in order to wait well. Discernment means that you know what God means, not just what he said. Okay, point number two. Point number two. You cannot wait until you have acted on what God said. Okay, here we go. Mary has an action of faith. Mary hears no. She hears rejection. She hears it ain't my time. And then she says, hey, come over here. You serving, ain't y'all? Y'all, you serving? Stop standing around. Come here. Come here. Whatever this man tells you to do, do that. See, Mary could have just set her happy self down. Once she heard no, she could have been like, is what it is. But Mary was like, here we go, here we go. Just in case he really meant yes, let me give him some servants who know how to obey. Just in case he wants to change his mind and bless me, I'm prepared for breakthrough, because I'm not gonna work based on the assumption that he meant no. I'm gonna work based on the assumption that no really meant yes. So y'all come on over here. You ain't doing nothing no way. Come over here. And then Mary leaves Jesus there with the servants. This is called setting the stage for God to perform. Okay, you didn't hear what I said. This is called setting the stage for God to perform. You cannot sit down until you set the stage for God to do what only he can do. You can't sit down and rest until you set the stage. You can't make fire come down, but you know what you can do? You can build a trench, and you can put the sacrifice on the altar, and you can set the stage for God to do what only he can do. You can't make it get, you can't make your wife get pregnant, but you know, you can buy a crib and put it in a room and set the stage for God to move. You can't make God do it, but you can set the stage for God to do what only he can do. See, a lot of times you sitting there waiting, but your waiting is a waste of time, because waiting can only turn into a passive activity once you have set the stage for God to do what only he can do. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. You can't just sit there like, I'm just waiting on God and I got faith. Until your happy hips do something with the faith that you feel in your heart, then you can't sit down. But once Mary sets the stage, here we go. She does not stand looking over Jesus' shoulder, trying to micromanage the breakthrough and the blessing. Because you know what some of us do. We set the stage. Every 5 seconds, you checking your notifications. You're like, now, is it time yet? No. Listen to me. Once you set the stage, you go sit down. Once you set the stage, you go sit down and you sleep and you rest and you act from a place of authority and you go, I know what he's gonna do. I'm not gonna lose no sleep over this. I've already set the stage for God to show up. I've done everything human and natural. Now he's got to add his super to the natural that I've placed in motion. I cannot have an expectation that God is gonna do something if I have not set the stage for him to perform. See, we go to one extreme or the other. We either sit down before we set a stage, or once we set a stage, we're standing over Jesus' shoulder. What you doing now? Wait, Jesus, that's water though. We don't need no water. We need wine, Jesus. And Jesus is like, well, you go shut up and sit down. You don't even know how this works. You don't even know what I'm doing. You don't know the first thing. If you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it. But you can't fix it. That's why you got me. So since you called me, let me do what only I can do. Go sit down somewhere and stop asking questions and stop asking me, are we there yet? Go sit down and relax. And let me turn this water into wine. You would have been there at the wedding like, well, that's not what that's for, though, Jesus. Them pots ain't for that. Wait a second. Six pots, that ain't even a number of God. You need seven pots, Jesus. Go shut up somewhere. You don't know. Once you set the stage, get out of God's way. Sit down and wait and be patient. Even when it looks mysterious, even when it doesn't make sense, even when he's over there with the servants doing something that's behind the veil, I gotta help you, because while you're waiting, God is working. While you're waiting, God is working. Here we go. I think I bust my lip. It's okay. Don't worry. I have an employee. Manny and Ringo Ministries has an employee. One of our employees lives in Barcelona, Spain. So he's in a whole different time zone. His name is Rodrigo. He's the man. If you ever see me have cool edited videos on Instagram, he does them. He lives in Barcelona. He's great. He don't even really speak English. It's awesome. Rodrigo is so many hours ahead of us that what typically happens is we will give Rodrigo files at night. And once we give him files at night, I go to sleep. And typically the first thing I wake up to in the morning is a message from Rodrigo, because we're not in the same time zone. So while I'm sleeping, he's working. Because he's awake before me, because we're not in the same time zone. Do you not understand that you and God are not in the same time zone? So you can sit down and go to sleep, and while you're sleeping, God is behind the scenes in eternity doing what only he can do. You are bound by time, but God is not bound by the confines of your 24 hours. So at some point, you've just got to go to sleep and rest and chill and relax and realize me and God ain't even in the same time zone. So when I go to sleep, he's the God that neither sleeps or slumbers. He never yawns. He never gets tired. He's the God that's working on my behalf. It's all gonna be okay, because he's working things together for my good. See, God's working while I'm waiting. Here we go. Last point. Jesus, I gotta preach this like I feel it. Is this helping anybody? Jesus makes the wine. Now, I don't drink wine, so I had to look this up. Good old Google. I Googled, how long do it take to make wine? Because Jesus made wine in a couple of minutes. And Google told me that it takes 3 to 6 months to make wine. But when God is in it, he can turn your months into minutes. And so what you thought wasn't gonna happen until next year, God can take your months and make them minutes. Is there anybody in the room who's looking for God to take some water and to make it into wine? God, ferment this thing overnight. God, you bottle this thing up right here real quick. See, when you are working on your own strength, you have human limitations. But God begins to say, I didn't grow no grapes. I didn't pick no grapes. I did not thresh no grapes. I did not bottle no wine. I didn't let it ferment. But what took months of time can be done in minutes when you let the supernatural power of God activate in your life. Is there anybody in the room who you're saying, oh yeah, you thought that the year of Canaan was about to be over. Once October hit, you was like, what can God do now? But I'm speaking to your faith. Because what would normally take months of your life can happen while you sleep tonight. I'm speaking to your bank account, and I'm saying what would have took months of saving is about to happen in a couple of minutes. I know what the doctor said, but we are declaring in this place tonight that God has the ability to accelerate your time. He's got the ability to accelerate your time.
okay, there's a couple of you that don't believe that God has the ability to accelerate your time, so I have to prove it to you in the word, okay? I'll prove it to you in the word. Here we go. The parable, what Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he says, hey, let me tell you a parable. There's an owner of a vineyard. Uh-oh. Vineyard. We already know some clues already. The owner of the vineyard goes out in the top of the morning, goes out and says, anybody want to work for me? I'll pay you a full day's wage. Bunch of people come out. Yep, we'll work a full day's wage. Then the Bible says that the owner of the vineyard goes out 2 hours later. Anybody want to work? You can come work. So some people started at 9 a.m. Some people started at 11 a.m. Then the owner goes out at 1. Hey, anybody want to work? Recruits some more people to work, brings them back to work. Then the owner goes out again, an hour before closing time. And the owner gets some more people to work. At the end of the day, everybody lines up to receive their wage. And everybody makes the same thing. And I know that God is a God of justice, which means that if they didn't work the same amount of work, how can they make the same wage? And God began to look at me and say, how you know that the person that worked an hour didn't do the same amount of work as a person that started in the morning? Because God has the ability to take what other people, what it took them years to do, you can do it in the last hour of the year. See, God has the ability for what it took 5 people to do, you could do it with your own company, by your own self. You, me, and myself, yep, we're gonna agree and we're gonna do what it takes a larger company to do. We're gonna do it in a day. We're gonna do it in a week. We're gonna do it in a year. Is there anybody who's like, yep, God, I need you to accelerate my time because I feel like I'm late? But even when you feel like you're late, God begins to do something for you that should have took longer than it should have taken. If you're in this place tonight, and you're saying, God, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you since December 31st last year. I've been waiting on you, and you have not done what I wanted you to do. Just lift your hands towards heaven. I'm praying for you. God, I ask that you would do in this last 2 months of the year what it would take a whole year to do. The down payment that somebody's been waiting on all year, God, I declare in the name of Jesus, we speak it by faith. The relationship that somebody's been waiting years for, God, do it quickly. God, we thank you that we have set a stage for you. We've got our faith in you. We've got our hope in you. And you are the God that will not put us to shame. You will not disappoint. God, accelerate some time. I don't know who I'm praying for. Accelerate some time. Turn months into minutes right now in Jesus' name. Come on. The Bible says that better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I don't know if you know what that means, but 1,000 days is 2.5 years. I believe that God can use 24 hours to accelerate your life 2.5 years. Is there anybody in the room who's like, yep, God, the next prophetic word I get from you, I'll use it to set up the next decade of my life. God, we break the curse of the enemy right now. The Bible, we say right now, whatever the locusts have eaten, God, you're gonna recover it. You're gonna replenish it. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for supernatural advancement. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for a double portion for what we lost. Let the blessing of Job be on us. We declare that based on what we lost and the time that we sown, God, we ask right now for a double portion of your blessing and a double portion of your anointing. We declare it by faith. We rebuke doubt right now in Jesus' name. Even anybody in the room who's trying to add up the math, we rebuke math right now. The one who made math is here. So God, we're not going to do addition for you. We're going to let you multiply everything that you want to grow in our life. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, bless the name of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will praise you like it's already done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll bless your name, God. Before the walls come down, we'll bless your name, God. Hallelujah. A company that would have taken
years to build. God, I declare right now, overnight success. God, we declare right now, overnight growth. God, you have the ability to do what no man can do. I'm gonna say this last thing. You don't need to sit down. I'm gonna say this last thing. A couple years ago, as a newlywed, married men live longer because of this story. My wife scheduled a doctor's appointment for me. Praise God. So I would have never scheduled it for myself. And she told me, you need to make sure that you get to the doctor's appointment at 9 o'clock. Your doctor's appointment is at 9 o'clock. She said, Manny, what time is the doctor's appointment? I said, 9 o'clock. She said, make sure you are there 15 minutes early because you got to fill out forms. She said, baby, can I trust you? I said, you can trust me. I got this. I'll be there at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, I left my house. I got there at 9:15. If you ask me, it's pretty good. Pretty good. But when you sign in, you got to tell them your name and the time of your appointment. So I rolled up. I was like, hey, you know, my name's Manny Arango. My appointment was at 9. But, you know, it's close. It's only 9:15. We good, right? She said, I can't find anything for Manny Arango at 9 o'clock. I said, I don't know what to tell you. I've never even seen you. I don't know what to tell you. I was like, look again. I don't know. She said, sir, your appointment is at 10 o'clock. Because my wife, she knew me. She knew that I was not gonna get there on time. So she told me the wrong time to let me wait a little while. And you're mad because God got you waiting, but he factored in your disobedience. That's why you got to the blessing before time. You're mad and disappointed because you think that God lied to you. Oh, he lied to you because he'd rather you get there early than you get there too late. Even when you thought you was late, I'm declaring that you're early for your breakthrough. Even when you thought you were late, I'm saying right now, there was a God who's the one that architected the wedding. Mary wasn't the one who told Jesus of the problem. Jesus set up the whole scenario. Jesus knew they was getting married. Jesus knew they were gonna run out of wine. He knew that in order for my disciples to have faith in me, we need to be at a wedding and people need to run out of wine. And I'm gonna turn, you thought put the 6 jars there. Jesus was the one that prepared the whole scene from the beginning. Even when you think there's a problem, there's a God who already thought of your solution. You are right on time. You are right on time. You are right on time. God, I thank you right now for everyone who thought that they had to wallow in regret over lost time. You're giving back to us the years that the locusts have eaten. I declare that right now in the spirit realm. You are giving back to us the years that the locusts have eaten. Those good years that you thought you wasted on some dude who didn't put a ring on it. Oh no, God is giving you back the best years of your life. Your latter will be greater than your former. The time of blessing is right now. Praise God for it. The time of breakthrough is now. Give God a shout of praise all over this place. Hallelujah. And God, as we walk out of this room, we bind the hand of the enemy that would try to pluck up the seed of your word. Oh, we declare right now, the womb of our imagination is open. God, I don't have to understand how you're gonna do it. I just know that you are gonna do what no man can do. God, blow our minds. God, work outside of the confines of time. Do what only you can do. We've been waiting too long. We've been waiting too long. We've been waiting too long. But we release breadcrumb faith in this place. In the name of Jesus, as we leave this place, cover us as we leave. Let angels and
camp around our vehicles. God, we declare safe journeys home. And until we meet again on Sunday, keep us. Make your face shine on us. Let your countenance be with us. And God, give us your presence. If you're not going, we don't want to go. In the name of Jesus, we declare this blessing over your people. Hallelujah. Come on, go out praising. Hallelujah. You are dismissed. We love you.